This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, amma ba'd. Yaqulullahu tabarak wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al majid wal furqan al hamid, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, today in my talk I'd like to address the process of talaq, the process of divorce as far as Sharia is concerned. How do we go about annulling the marriage? The second thing which I wish to discuss today is the post-divorce period. And the third thing which I wish to discuss is the impact of divorce on children at large. As far as the process of talaq is concerned, let me start off by saying that every marriage will go through some difficulty along the way. There is no home in the world which will not suffer some setbacks. The greatest of people, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also went through the same phase in his life. And as believers, we need to draw from his life. How did he conduct himself when things were tough in his home? So I want to start off by saying that every marriage will go through the ups and downs of life. Sometimes things will be rosy, but then you'll get the times when things will not be so rosy. So if there's problems in the home, if there's problems in the marriage, the first thing the Sharia requires you to do is to try to sort it out amongst yourself. Husband and wife sits down, they try to iron out their issues, they try to speak to each other about how they're feeling. And once that process is over and they receive no good results, things are still not working out, the Sharia says, فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. The Quran says, appoint somebody to mediate on your behalf from the boy's side, and appoint somebody to mediate on her behalf from the girl's side. So choose for somebody who's senior in the family, who's got wisdom, who understands the nitty-gritty of life, who are able to play a supportive role. So choose for a sensible person in the house. It doesn't have to be the parents. It could be the uncle. It could be the aunt. It could be somebody senior, your grandfather. Choose a senior member in the family and let the two families meet together and try and iron out issues. You know, a fresh pair of eyes might be able to provide a different perspective than what we are looking at. Sometimes we're too thick into the things that we don't see the other perspectives around us. And when people from outside come in, they are able to show us that perspective. And Allah says an amazing thing. إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If these two parties are genuine about reconciliation, Allah says, I will give them love and mahabbah. Allahu Akbar. The question is, are we sincere in our efforts in terms of reconciliation? إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If they are serious, if they are genuine about reconciling, Allah says, I will give them mahabbat, I will give them love once again in that union. If this process also fails, it bears no fruits, then the third process, the Sharia says, then you go for counseling. So you try to sort out the issues amongst yourself, that did not work. You got your family members involved, that did not work. The third aspect is, you go for counseling, professional counseling. where the counselors try and help you. And remember, brothers and sisters in Islam, seeking assistance is not a sign of weakness. Women are generally open to outside intervention, but men feel that's an indictment. They feel that, no, it's a smack in the face. It means that I'm not able to handle my relationship, and so I'm asking for help from outside. Well, that's not the case. Marriage is like a motor vehicle. Sometimes you need a panel beater to knock out those dents. Sometimes you require the mechanic to help you with the service of the car. Sometimes you need the electrical engineer to help you with the electrical problems in your car. When there's a problem in the car, you don't become a mechanic overnight. And you don't see it as a sign of weakness if you are going to the mechanic. You definitely don't see it as a sign of weakness if you're taking your car to the panel beater. You tell yourself, I'm not qualified. I'll make a bigger mess out of it. Let me take it to somebody who's an expert in the field. And you ask the panel beater to knock out that dent. You ask the mechanic to give it a good service. Sometimes you require a major service. But the point is, we don't throw the car away. We don't throw the motor vehicle away. We work with it. We try and work with our issues. So the third step is to go for counseling. And so many marriages end up on the rocks because people are not willing to take outside intervention. And later on, they sit with regret in life. So it's important that we go for all these options that are available to us before we call it quits. And look at the balance life that Sharia promotes. If after counseling things still don't come right, and the marriage is not a peaceful area for you, there's more hostility in the house than peace and love, then the Quran says, وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُ The Quran says, وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ذِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا If you are not fulfilling each other's rights in the marriage, and there's more hostility in the house than love, then the Quran says you should opt for divorce also. But divorce is the last option, not the first option. Remember that. And we shouldn't call it quits. We take the necessary step. If the panel beater says, you know what, this car is beyond repairs, then we take in his advice. If the mechanic says that, you know, this car I can't repair, then we take in his advice. But we don't call that shot. We follow the procedure. So we leave it in expert people's hands, and we ask them to make a judgment. If they feel that nothing is materializing here, then yes, the Quran also says, then you must rather part in harmony. Which brings me to the second part of my talk. And that is, the Quran says there's only two options in marriage. فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ Either you live with kindness with each other, and if that's not possible, then you let go with dignity. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You either live with each other in peace and harmony, with kindness and dignity. If that's not possible, then the Quran says, you let go also with kindness and dignity. Allahu Akbar. What does it mean? What does it mean to let go with dignity? It means you let your spouse and your partner leave the marital home with their izzah and their dignity intact. Just as you brought your wife into the house with procedures, you asked the guardian for permission. You paid the dowry. You brought her with so much of respect and dignity into your house. Allah says, in a similar manner, if things don't work out, we don't want to force you to stay together, but let this lady go with dignity. Allahu Akbar. What does the Quran say? وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ We order the husbands and the leaders of the household that when that woman is leaving your house, give her the dignity. Give her the respect she deserves. Allahu Akbar. And the Quran goes on to say, look after her maintenance, and above what is necessary on you, give her something surplus. Give her something extra. Give her a piece of clothing. Give her material possessions. But let her go with respect. Allahu Akbar. And part of going, and part of letting go with respect is not to take jibes at each other on social media. You see, when homes break, the first place we go to is Facebook, and we go on to Twitter, and we go on to Instagram, and we go on to WhatsApp, and we air our dirty laundry. Must I tell you what kind of man he is? Must I tell you what kind of woman he is? The Quran says, let go with kindness if you can't stay together in harmony. It is important to educate ourselves. We don't have to get ugly. Talaq does not have to be acrimonious. Talaq can be done with peace and serenity. Two families should sit down and agree that things have not worked out. But we're not going to do mudslinging. We're not going to sink each other's reputation. She is a woman at the end of the day. And you are a husband also who could not get it right, or she could not get it right. The past is the past. But we move on with dignity and respect. That's the first thing. The second thing that I need to emphasize here, brothers and sisters in Islam, is that when we divorce, and remember, the nikah terminates, the marital relationship ends, but your partnership does not end. Listen to this carefully. When there's children involved, that partnership between you and your ex will remain for life. Because there's custody. You're going to be paying for the maintenance of the children. You're going to be picking them up, dropping them off, spending holidays this side and that side. So don't make it difficult for the children. Remember, you still have to work as a team, because you will remain the father for the rest of your life. And you will remain the mother of that child for the rest of your life. And this is what I need to emphasize. Let's try and make it easy for the children that's involved. I cry when I see children in the madrasa and in the schools. You must see the effects of talaq on children. Parents are so selfish that they can't see a masoom child of 4 or 5 years old, how it's deteriorating. It's impacting the children psychologically. It's changing their behavior at school. They are aggressive. Look at the consequences of talaq on children. We get so caught up in our egos that we forget about the masoom and the innocent children involved. If we are divorcing, then do it the right way. Do not destroy the lives of those innocent children. They're so young. They don't deserve it. Look at the consequences of talaq. They say, psychologists tell us that children under 9, they feel that they are responsible for the divorce. They even say, daddy, I won't trouble you anymore. I won't nag you anymore, mom. I won't ask you for any spending. I won't ask you for any toys, because they feel they are responsible. And they try to push the parents to stay together. Psychologists tell us they live in wishful thinking. They always have it in the back of the mind. One day they'll get back together. One day they'll get back together. So that's the consequences of talaq on small children. Look at their behavior pattern at school and madrasa. They suffer as far as their academics are concerned. They become aggressive. How do you expect a 5-year-old or 7-year-old child to come to terms with the reality of life? They're so small. And the consequences of talaq of children of 9 and above, they become rebellious. They become independent. They feel betrayed. They feel that our parents are selfish. They are throwing the marriage away because of us. And so they grow up with a lot of anger, And the greatest fear, brothers and sisters in Islam, is when they get married themselves, they have the strong, overarching fear that what if my marriage also ends up like my father and my mother? What if I also end up divorced? And they're living in constant fear. They're so scared even when they're taking the first step into marriage. So what I'm saying today, brothers, if we are divorcing, let's keep the children at hand. They are innocent. We're supposed to make it easier for them, not difficult for them. Things did not work out between us, that's fine. We're moving on. You getting married, I'll get married, that's fine. But look, consider the kids. They have to move from one home to another home. And people are so selfish. Sometimes it's the third term of the school. The school is almost going to end. They are going into the final exams. And the parents decide to call it quits. Now you have to change schools. If you're not changing school, the child needs to study for exams. How is the child going to cope? So we must... Talaq should be a thought-out process. It should never be done in anger. Do it with a calm mind. Think over it 100 times and then take the step. So before I go on to the third part of my talk, and that is the kids, I forgot to mention this in the start. That the Sharia says that if things do not work out, then you only divorce once. Only one bullet is sufficient and required to end a marriage. Whether you are Shafi'i, whether you are Hanafi, whether you are Maliki, whether you are Hanbali, irrespective. One talaq is sufficient to end the marriage. Once the iddat expires, she is free to marry whoever she wants. And you are free to marry whoever you want. The reason why the Sharia pushes for one talaq only is that if you have regret after 6 months, after 2 years, after 5 years, you still have the option of making a new nikah. And many people have come to their senses. After 8 months, they say, you know what, Mulana, I realize I'm more miserable out of marriage than in marriage. We had issues, but I was happier. Can I get married again? Of course you can get married again. So opt for one divorce only. And do it through the sheikh of the community. Do it through a learned person. So you don't have regrets afterwards. It doesn't have to get ugly. It doesn't have to end ugly. Coming to the aspect of children, brothers and sisters in Islam. I want to emphasize here that once the relationship ends, we must take our children for counseling. Look, for us, we handle matters differently, but children handle matters totally different, as I mentioned to you. The counselors will work with the children and make them realize what's happening. Why mommy and daddy are no longer staying together. Why they can't get along. So the counselors will help the child come to terms with what's happening in the home. Number one. Number two, I urge every person sitting there, including myself, that don't make it more difficult for the children. A child requires a healthy environment to grow up in. A child requires love. A child requires affection. A child requires positive environment and positive energy to grow up in. Let's make it easier for them. Let us not use our innocent children as a means of manipulating our partners. Allow me to reiterate that. Let us not use our children as a tool of manipulation. I'll show him I'll never give the children. I'll show him I won't let the children go for holidays this time. And if he calls, I'll tell him they're sleeping. I will never give them access to my children. You're proving a point to him, but who's suffering? Who's suffering? It's the children. For you, it's me and it's for you, it's my side and his side. But for the children, it's both are beloved to them. The mother is equally beloved as the father. Don't make them choose. Have the maturity to allow yourself that the children mix with each other. They go in this side nicely and they go in this side also nicely. We poison in the minds of our children. You know your father? Let me tell you what he did. You know your mother? What kind of woman she is? Shame. Why are we turning our children against each other? It's not fair. It's not fair on their half or on their behalf. Let us move beyond the pain, beyond the hurt. I know it's not easy, but think of your innocent children. Don't think about yourself. Let not the egos get in the way where the innocent children are suffering. They already went through so much. They saw so much of fighting in the house. They saw so much of mudslinging. They now need the time to come to terms with what's happening and move on with life. Let's not get nasty with each other. Allow each other access to the children. And it brings me to the next point, that as a community and as a society, we have a very important role to play. لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. Allah says, do you want to know acts of goodness? Then the greatest act of goodness is to try to unite people. And parents are the first people in this regard. After the divorce has taken place, yes, there's bitter feelings, but the parents must be mature enough to say, my daughter, he is the father of your child at the end of the day. Let's see how we can make this work. You can get married, I don't mind. But let's not make this more ugly. Let's try and work together. I promise you, if the seniors of the family can play an active role, there'll be less hatred amongst the parties. The parents, the mother and the father, need to play a supporting role. Yes, things got ugly between the two, and you can't come to terms with it. But I'm saying to you, keep the innocent children, because they are the only ones that suffer the most when the divorce is taking place. More than the husband and more than the wife also. So let the families come together. Let the communities come together and try and bring mahabba and love, even though they are not husband and wife. It is our responsibility to do so. It is compulsory for us to do so as seniors of the community. Let us try and unite people. Our job is to create mahabba in people's homes. Our job is not to disunite people. Our job is not to say, to hell with her, to hell with him. Our job is to look beyond the pain and the hurt and bring people closer to each other. So look and think about the children. And I promise you, brothers and sisters in Islam, if you keep your egos aside, and if you keep the children in mind, they will prosper in life. They will grow up in a healthy environment. They will find love. They will find the answers to life. They will come to terms with it. But if we continuously become petty over these issues and fighting with each other and being at loggerheads with one another, we're only going to make it difficult for our children and no one else. So let's forgive for the sake of Allah, and let's try and bring mahabba in the home and try and unite for the sake of our children. For the sake of our children. It's not easy for them. Put yourself in their shoes and then see how life is from their angle. And you'll definitely think about it. And you'll give it another thought before you do anything in life. The last thing I want to end off with, brothers and sisters in Islam. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَنْ يَنْكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah says, if after giving one divorce, they move their own way, let's say 5, 10, 20 months down the line, 2 years down the line, the ex, the husband and the wife want to get back together. They want to reunite. Then the Quran says, don't stop them. Don't stop them. This verse was revealed when Ma'qil bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is a narration of Bukhari, he took his sister and he wedded her off to another sahabi. Things did not work out and he divorced her. After some time, there was some remorse and regret. So he came back to the home and he said, I'd like to marry my ex again. And he said, what? I gave you my sister and you divorced her. Am I crazy to give her back to you again? The Quran was revealed that if they are willing to make the home again, if they are willing to make things work again, then you as the community, you as the family, you as the brother, you as the guardian of the daughter, you cannot stop this union to take place. Because she's the mother of the child. The children will get their home back. Put our egos aside. And Sahaba was Sahaba. When they heard this verse, Ma'qil bin Yasar went himself. He took his sister and he said, I give her back to you in your nikah. And the nikah was performed. So brothers, if there's any hope of reconciliation, even after a lengthy period, if there's hope and there's genuine effort from both sides, let them reunite again. For this is the right thing to do. According to the Quran and Sunnah, Allah says, ذَلِكَ يُعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Thus we are giving you advice as the creator of the universe that this is the right thing to do. ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ. Allah says, this is the purest of options to choose from. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows, but you don't know. Allah knows, but you don't know. Allahu Akbar. In a nutshell, brothers and sisters in Islam, today I discussed the procedure of talaq. Then, secondly, I discussed the post-talaq period, what should be done and what should not be done. And thirdly, I discussed the importance of putting our egos aside and looking at the well-being of our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the blessings and the reward that's required to survive in this world.